Hey, it's Coach Kate here, registered dietitian and owner of RD Kate Sports Nutrition. As a member of the LCC Stars Athletic Department, I teach our athletes what to eat and when to eat it on training days, competition days, and throughout the year. For over a decade, I've been helping athletes of all sports and levels meet their goals. RD Kate Sports Nutrition offers individual consulting, team services, on-demand courses, and downloadable handouts. For more information, visit rdkate.com.
Hello, friends, and welcome to Coach Cuts Corner. Streaming bright from Michigan's capital city, this podcast is dedicated to helping you better understand the who, the what, and the why of mental performance, personal growth, and Lansing Stars baseball. Coach Cuts Corner, brought to you by Eyewash.
In collaboration with Lansing Community College.
And now here's your host, Stephen Cutter.
Welcome back to Coach Cut's Corner. This is a place where we dive into stories, mindsets, and habits that drive athletes to be uncommon. Today, I'm sitting down with one of our own, sophomore outfielder Corbin Smith. Corbin brings a spark of energy to this team every single day. He's the kind of guy who can flip the mood of a dugout just with his presence. And while he's made a name for himself patrolling the outfield here at LCC, he's also earned a reputation for laying down arguably the straightest chalk lines in Stars history. That attention to detail says a lot about who he is. And today, we're going to dig into his journey, his mindset, and what makes Corbin tick. Welcome to the WLNZ studios, Corbin.
Thanks for having me.
I was wondering if you were ever going to get in here.
Yeah, me too.
Let's start at the beginning. Where'd your baseball journey start? And kind of twofolded, who were some of the people that, you know, kind of shaped you early on?
I started before I can even remember, honestly. It was T-ball back in, I think, when I was like three or four.
Makes sense.
And I played every sport you could think of growing up and just kind of always gravitated towards baseball. And my dad pushed me along that route a lot, so that's how I ended up here.
Did you ever play on an 8U nationally ranked team or anything like that?
No, I'm no Carson Sweet, so.
Solid memories. Did you play other sports besides baseball?
Yeah, I would say my main sports were baseball and football.
Okay. Did you play football in high school?
Yeah, I did. I played, started in fifth grade, I think, fourth or fifth grade. And, well, I played flag football before that, so. Tackle football is fifth grade all the way up to my senior year.
Was there a moment that you kind of decided, like, yeah, I want to play baseball?
Yeah, it was kind of a whole bunch of things that led into me playing college baseball, because I could have played college football, but I didn't really want to deal with, because my dad played college football and he said he doesn't want me to go through the same things that he did with like injuries and things like that. He says he still feels injuries to this day.
It's tough on your body, yeah, for sure.
So
I mean, if you think realistically just about playing college baseball,
yeah,
it's hard on your body,
yeah,
but then you
imagine.
Add a contact sport, I mean, it's probably times five or whatever. So yeah, it makes sense, and you've really got to love it to begin with, but yeah, it's going to be hard on your body. Kind of walk us through how you ended up here. And what drew you to the program?
I would say I never really thought about going the JUCO route at first, you know, like coming up.
Why?
Because, you know, I always thought
the stigma of it?
Not the stigma, but more or less just, I don't know, I'd always thought I would be at a big 4 year somewhere, but, you know, sometimes it's not how things plan out. And then I had other 4 year opportunities, but I didn't think any of them were up to the standard that I wanted to play at, and I knew here was an incredible program. So, and along with the mental side of things, I knew I needed work on that. So
yeah, I think everybody does.
Yeah,
unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, not everybody recognizes that they need to work on it, but everybody does need to work on it. And it doesn't matter if you play a sport or not. And that's kind of the cool part about your story, where you come from and what you brought here and some of the standards and the foundation of everything that you've done so far. I want to talk about kind of this thing with you that is energy / leadership. Some of the stuff that I've seen this year, you're kind of known as one of our energy guys, not only in the dugout, but just going about a normal day. You're pretty happy, go lucky, you know, pretty much most of the time. What's that role mean to you, and how intentional are you about it, bringing great energy every day?
Yeah, well, I know that, you know, our schedule can get crazy, and especially with freshmen just now coming in, they, you know, they're not used to, especially once we get into winter and spring, like going 7 days a week, no one's ready for that. And having somebody that can, because I know I never really had this, having somebody that's always there and bringing up energy and asking you how you're doing, things like that, it can really just, it can change everything for you. It all depends on how you're feeling that day. If you're feeling bad, people can go to me to pick them up.
You know, we have a readiness test form that you guys fill out. The pitchers fill one out, and theirs is a little bit different than the position players. But on that readiness form, you're able to put, you know, kind of where your mental state is for the day.
Yeah.
Whether it's, you know, blue meaning not so great, green for pretty solid, and más o menos, which is basically means.
Does that mean like right in the middle?
Yeah. But the mental side is like super important, because we talk about when we do meditations to start practices and stuff like that, a big reason why we're doing those is just to really come back to being present. Because in your day, there's a lot that happens to everybody. There's just all kinds of things. And sometimes they're really not like huge things, but some of those things kind of stink a little bit, and you know, they're not ideal. And, you know, then you're coming into a, you know, a couple hour practice, and you're supposed to be at 100%. You're supposed to be locked in and giving full effort. And if you don't understand how to separate that kind of stuff, well, that bleeds into practice. And then when that bleeds into practice, that bleeds into games, and that bleeds into playing time, and it bleeds into what type of teammate you are.
Yeah.
And those things. And I think you've done an incredible job this year just trying to be a leader, bring energy. You brought energy last year. The leadership piece, I think you showed signs of that last year too. Leadership is one of those things that you don't have to be a sophomore to lead.
Yeah.
Let's talk about strong teammates. Because when we talk about great teams that we've had at LCC, they've always had really strong teammates. So for you, what makes a strong teammate? And obviously we spoke last night at leadership. It's not just about talent, but the day-to-day stuff. What makes a strong teammate in your opinion?
I think what makes a strong teammate is someone that is going to show up every day, and you know, no matter how they're feeling, they're always going to be there for their teammates. They're going to put 100% into whatever they're doing at that time. And of course, you're not shading on teammates, things like that. You're not talking behind their back, nothing like that. You're always just trying to help them as a person and help the team ultimately to be better.
Yeah. Ultimately, I think you're trying your best to state the facts and speak the truth to your teammates. And it, sometimes that helps hold them accountable. Sometimes that helps pick them up, like when they feel like they're horrible or they need to redshirt or whatever it might be. And you can be like, yeah, you're actually doing pretty fine, you know, pretty solid. You might have had one bad game or something, but think about the big picture, you know, think about the last month or something like that. So that's kind of where like state the facts, speak the truth comes from. Yeah. It can be really helpful. And I think you're saying it best, where it's like, you want to try to help them as much as they can. And because ultimately, I mean, that's what you want too, right? I mean, that's what we all want. We want some people and that to help us. And that's kind of what makes great teams and great environments. And what part of, like, when we talk about energy, where's that come from?
Great question. I would say,
because it's super contagious.
Yeah.
If you think about like bad energy, that's super contagious too. You got a whole room of people that are super negative.
Yeah.
You know, what do you think the whole room's going to be? You bring really solid energy.
Thank you.
So like, where's that come from?
I would say for me, it's the whole thing with, and me and Griffin were talking about this the other day. I think it was before the first practice, or no, before our first games this past weekend. We just couldn't wait to like get out there and just compete. The teams we played, we didn't get into a big jam there, but still just going out there and competing. I think if you don't have that like edge to you, if you don't have that want and like need to like compete, you're not going to have energy. And yeah. But if you can go into that game and think, no matter what the scoreboard is, no matter how much we're up, how much we're down, we're just going to compete. And I think that's what drives me to really just go all out.
Yeah. You hit on something with saying like an edge, and the best teams, it doesn't matter what sport it is, the best teams, they all have somewhat of an edge yeah. on when they're competing, and it looks a little bit different than maybe the average teams do.
100%.
Let's talk about those chalk lines a little bit. Where do those come from?
You know, I saw, I think it was Remick last year.
Okay.
I don't know. I saw him doing it, and I was super interested in it because, you know, over my, you know, many years of playing baseball, I've seen some pretty horrible lines. And that's always one of my biggest pet peeves, because you can always tell if a ball is fair or foul. But when there's a messed up line, like, it just looks bad, too. You always want to play on a nice field. Yeah. I mean, that's...
Well, as I said at the intro, I think you've got some of the straightest lines in Stars baseball history. Of course, it's arguable. But it also, when I look at that, I think of like the things that we say often, like details matter. Mm-hmm. You and I can both think back to maybe it's the youth level or whatever, where somebody put lines down on the field and maybe didn't have enough time to put the lines down on the field. Yeah. You know, so they just kind of made half moons and some of the things. And then, of course, in today's age, you know, when people show up to a field and they see some of that stuff, it gets shared and,
yeah.
you know, spread around. But yeah, like details matter. You've done a great job with that piece of it and trying to lock into the details. I also think about like last year as a freshman, you were not the first one through the thank you knuckle line, but you were somewhere in the middle. And this year you're kind of at the end. And mm-hmm. one day I asked you, we're like 3 weeks in at this point, and one day I asked you, like, why are you always last? And what'd you say?
Well, we always... I mean, not always, but we have NTNC, you know, and I mean, I know that last year there's a bunch of times where we left balls out mm-hmm. and nobody was really going up and down the lines, checking for balls and yep. things for like things like that, things that were left out. And as a leader on the team, I feel as though it's my responsibility to make sure those things don't happen. And it's been better now because we spread the word to the freshmen and all my other teammates that if we do leave things out, we are going to run. And so I think making sure the field looks nice when we're done with it and
taking some pride.
Yeah.
And there's certainly some accountability that 100%. Just goes into it. You're asked to do whatever it might be. You got to make sure that you do whatever you're asked to do. And sometimes people need some help with that.
Yeah.
You know, and we have some accountability in our program. I think you guys have some extra MTNC today because couple people signed in late on their readiness tests, mm-hmm. you know, and we had some failed.
Hope I didn't fail.
Failed tests last night, six of them, if I remember right. Those tests that we give in leadership, they're open journals. Mm-hmm. So if you're actually taking notes during yeah. and paying attention, they shouldn't be that hard. So there's certain pieces of accountability. I want to talk about like on-field development and growth as we transition forward in this podcast. From your perspective, what are some of your biggest strengths as an outfielder? What sets you apart?
Well, being an outfielder is one of the main things is speed. And I would say over the years, I kind of realized I transitioned from being an infielder to an outfielder when I was a sophomore in high school because I was talking to my high school coach and I was like, I kind of want to switch to outfield. And he was like, I could have told you this myself. He's like, you're one of the fastest guys on our team. Let's get you out there. I was like, okay. And then I would say last year, honestly, was a big year for me when it came to like developing in the outfield. And that was honestly just from watching Ryan, because I would be behind him taking reps and just watching his reads and things like that. I would say that's arguably just as important as speed, because you can have all the speed in the world. If you can't read a ball off the bat, then you're not going to catch anything.
Yeah. You say read, I think reaction.
Yeah.
You know, how, and then of course that ties into like the Pison mm-hmm. readiness test. And we kind of showed you guys how much that correlates. What's a part of your game that you're kind of locked in on improving this season? Because we say like our fall season, it's for development, mm-hmm. and that's not just a word we put on shirts or on the wall. Like, yeah. we're trying to show this is for development.
Yeah, definitely my bat. I would say, you know, I have certain moments where I can shine for sure at the plate, but I want to be at the point where I'm not just being successful some of the time, it's most of the time.
Yeah.
As much as I can, at least, just being more consistent and doing my job at the plate as well. And that can be, for me, I think it's getting on base, taking second, taking third.
You want to talk about how much you love the eye pitch?
I mean, I would say it's probably one of my best friends.
Okay.
You know?
Just wanted to get that on.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely a huge help because that thing is gross.
Yeah.
And
so we have a eye pitch machine and it basically is run off a tablet and, mm-hmm. you know, you can face some of the best pitchers in the game or you can face 85 with a four pitch mix and
yeah.
you don't really know what's coming. And the mixes on the standard version of it, it's going to be the best changeup you've ever seen or yeah. it's going to be the best slider you've ever seen.
Exactly.
It's got a filthy knuckleball.
Yeah.
And yeah, so it's not like a machine where you just feed the balls and you know what you just pretty much, you know, yeah. first round through, you've got a pretty solid idea what the tempo is, what your timing needs to be mm-hmm. and what the ball's doing coming out of that machine. With like the eye pitch, it's easier to train and we certainly use it to leverage to help our hitters not only get better, but get better on game days, things like that.
Yeah.
So that's kind of why I brought it up, because I know you love it. Do you have a favorite moment in your Stars uniform so far that sticks out to you?
Are you talking about in game?
Yeah, just favorite moment.
I don't think I have a favorite, like one moment, honestly. I would say last year, in general, it was incredible because we were an incredibly close team. And I would say like every time that we would put on the uniform and go out there, it honestly took all the stress out of it because you're just playing with your brothers. You know, we were so, it was the closest team I've ever been on. So just going out there and playing with them every day and just competing with them was
yeah.
the highlight of everything.
It's kind of like just enjoying the journey.
Yeah.
And you look at it as kind of one big thing and you're like, wow, that was a pretty cool journey.
Yeah.
You know,
and went by too fast.
So, man, it always does.
Yeah.
Always does. You've had some great experiences already. We've all had some great experiences from like last year's team. But what I like about you is how you matured from your freshman to your sophomore year. So kind of going into, what's the biggest lesson you learned as a freshman that you're carrying into this year?
I think one of the biggest learning curves for me last year was realizing how lucky I am and lucky all of us are to be playing college baseball in general and playing for such an incredible program and being with such a close-knit group of guys and having all of the things that we have. It was really just realizing that you're here for a reason. Just go have fun.
Yeah. And I know you're a super genuine person and you're not saying that just to try to get extra playing time or anything else. But if a brand new freshman, in which we've got a few of those in our program, asked you for advice on how to succeed in the Stars program, what would you tell them?
I've actually had this conversation with
I'm not shocked.
with a few guys already this year, and it kind of is a thing that a lot of them don't understand yet.
You don't know what you don't know.
I didn't know either, and you know, I had guys tell me this last year as well. It really just comes down to, you say it all the time, buying in. There's going to be a ton of things that we do that when you're doing them, you're like, why are we doing this? And then as long as you buy in, it's all going to make sense at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. It all comes together.
Yeah. The leadership piece is huge, but it's also the people listening to this, and the leadership piece on the field is huge too. It's not just in the dugout. It's on the field. It's at practices. It's in everything that you do.
Yeah.
Because like details matter and everything affects everything. Let's talk about game days a little bit. Kind of have a little bit of fun with this. Do you have a pregame routine?
Yeah.
Okay. What is it?
Well, I
superstitions.
Would say,
I mean, what you got going on?
I do have a superstition, but it's more once I get on the field.
Okay.
When I get on the field, if we're the home team, go out to the field, go out to center, wipe my feet in the dirt a little bit, say a prayer.
Hopefully there's grass out there, not dirt. But
yeah. Well, you know, the warning track.
Okay.
I go out to the warning track.
All right.
But before that, I listened to some music that a lot of people don't really like.
Okay.
But I listened to, you know, like rap music, things like that. Okay. Yeah.
All right. So baseball's kind of been known to have traditions and superstitions for a long time. So it's kind of why that question comes up. What's something about you most of your teammates don't know? Should be fairly easy. We're only 3 weeks in.
Yeah. Something that they don't know. Try to be pretty open. I would say something they don't know about me is when it comes to games, I don't get nervous, really.
Okay. What do you get?
I just want to get out there. Like, at the end of the day, like during my warm-up, everything like that, all I'm thinking about is just playing. Like,
That's a power statement, saying you don't get nervous. I can appreciate that.
Yeah.
Everything is different for everybody. Mm. You know, some people, the night before, their stomach's rolling, and some people aren't. I want to do a couple quick hitters. Really haven't done this with our players that we have in here, and we try to bring some of our best players, and it's not always the guy that's leading the team in home runs or something like that, but like all-around leaders, best players, great teammates, things like that. So quick hitter for you. Favorite food?
Pasta.
Yeah. Favorite music? I think you hit on that a little bit. Favorite baseball player growing up?
Ooh. So I used to wear number 14 my whole life for baseball. And that was because of Austin Jackson.
Oh, really?
From the Tigers. Yeah, crazy pull. I don't know. I remember watching the game where he made that catch over the fence, where he tumbled over the fence in center field. And that just made me love him.
Yeah. Jackson was pretty solid, but I was more of a Don Kelly fan.
I don't know him.
Yeah, that's too bad. Too bad.
I'll look him up.
Corbin, you've had a great start to your career here, and you're continuing to grow. When you look ahead, whether that's the rest of this season, your career, or even life after baseball, what are some goals you're chasing?
I would say just continuing to be a guy that everyone can, you know, no matter who it is, like friends, coworkers, new teammates, anything like that, being the guy that you can count on for anything, whether it's in game or whether it's outside of baseball, just someone that you can go to and talk to whenever you need to and just ask for help.
Like a rock.
Mm-hmm.
Corbin Smith is a reminder that it's not just about the highlight plays. It's about showing up with energy, taking pride in the details, and being the kind of teammate others can count on. From the outfield to the chalk lines, he set the bar high for what it means to be a star. Corbin, thanks for joining us today and sharing your story. For everyone listening, make winning in life your habit, not your goal. Excellence isn't an outcome. It's a daily standard. Until next time, keep stacking bricks and go Stars. Coach Cuts Corner is recorded live in the WLNZ studios with Dalian Lowry providing engineering and production assistance. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please share it and follow us on all forms of social media. Our program has been built and maintained with the help of many great people. If you want to be part of our mission, you can donate using the link in the show notes below. You can learn more at CoachCutter.com and more about our team at LCCStars.com. See you next time.